This is 90.3 KEDM Public Radio. I'm Corey Crow, and we're at Policy in a Pint, KEDM's quarterly series where we take a look at issues that are happening throughout our area, issues we think we can do some good in, maybe make some changes in, and bring awareness to issues in our area. With us today, we've got Sergeant Jerry Casey from our radio. I can edit this. With us today, we've got Captain Jerry Casey, who's with us from the Salvation Army here in Northeast Louisiana, Billy Varner from the Desired Street Shelter, and Matt Villareal from a new group called Cover the 318. And tonight, we're going to delve into some of the issues surrounding homelessness in Northeast Louisiana. Now, for our radio audience, we're tonight at Militello's Sports City Grill in West Monroe on 7th Street, and got a big room full of folks that have plenty of questions for our panel. And I'll start with Captain Jerry Casey from the Salvation Army. Captain Casey, tell me a little bit about the Salvation Army, and you run a shelter in Monroe. What is your mission, and how do you work with the homeless in North Louisiana?
Okay, what we do there in the Salvation Army, we've just reopened July 2nd of this year. We reconditioned our buildings, both the men's shelter and the women's shelter. And what we're doing is we're bringing them in at 2 p.m. instead of 4 p.m. And we have designed a courtyard of hope on the center of our facility. And it's broken up into two courtyards, one for males and one for females. I'm a firm believer in keeping them separated. It just takes the problem out of the equation. Anyway, what we're doing is we bring them in at 2. We bring them into the Courtyard of Hope. Now, as you know, here in Louisiana, normally it's pretty hot. So we provide bottled water on ice for them to have, you know, something to drink, and they can smoke their cigarettes, and they can talk, and they can fellowship together, each in their own separate area in their shaded areas. At that point, we start checking them in. We start with the women first. We install them all in. We have a form that they fill out, which is pretty informative about, you know, where they're going, what they want to do, what do they want to do about their situation, and their name, age, things like that. So we check them in and we assign them a bed. Now we've replaced all the beddings. All the mattresses are all new. All the linen is new. The paint is new. The lights are new. Everything is new in both of these facilities. It's a very welcoming and warm facility.
How many folks, Captain Casey, can the Salvation Army help every night?
We house comfortably, with each person having their own bed, 45 to 56 people a night. Now, in the beginning, when we opened it up, we were originally housing 30 when I took over the establishment. But like I said, we had to close it to remodel it and put it back together. So when we did that, I installed bunk beds where we had single beds. So that kind of doubled our capacity across the board. And we bought all new mattresses and such. But we can house 45 to 56 comfortably. Now, during a disaster, let's say it's going to rain for 3 or 4 days in a row. It's a major heat stroke. We have a flood. God forbid a tornado comes through there. I can put an additional 20 to 25 cots out instantly, which I do have 20 to 25 brand new cots, by taking up the tables in our kitchen, in our dining area. We have other rooms that we can, you know, close up the tables in there, like offices, and put these cots out. And we can do that set up within 20 minutes.
So you can comfortably do 50 a night, maybe 75 a night if something bad's going on. I need to ask Billy Varner, Desired Street Shelter. Billy, you guys been doing this a long time, just like the Salvation Army. These guys can handle, you know, 50, 75 folks. I'm just wondering, how many homeless folks do you think there are out on the streets every night that need help?
Well, first of all, to count or to give an exact number, I don't think it's possible. We can estimate that there is probably, well, once they're in the Salvation Army, we're averaging about 40 to 50 individuals that we're feeding in the evening. We feed about 4,000 meals a month. And We, during the lunch hour, we see about 150 individuals and about 80 for breakfast in the morning, then another 80 to 100 in the evenings, you know, on any given day.
How many of these folks are, we think about homeless and, you know, I just assume they don't have a job, but a lot of these people are working homeless. They just don't have anywhere to go. They've got a job during the day, nowhere to go at night with themselves or themselves and their family. What do you guys see? Is it a good mix of folks? Are they no jobs, or do they have jobs and just nowhere to go?
Well, first of all, homelessness, the majority of the individuals that are homeless, they look just like we do. You pass many homeless individuals on the streets every day, and you don't know that they're homeless. There is another group that they don't look like us, they don't smell like us, they don't dress like us, and we assume those individuals are the homeless ones. However, many of those individuals have housing. The individuals that you don't see, it's one of the reasons that we can't put a number to it. Like I said, they look like us. Many of them are working minimum wage paid jobs during the week, mother and wife, and they're sleeping in their cars at night. Oftentimes, these individuals are, the kids are in school, mother and fathers, like I said, are working minimum wage paid jobs, and when they get off, they're sleeping in the cars and parks and other areas.
This is Matt Villarreal. Matt is sort of with a new group called Cover the 318. Matt, tell folks about Cover the 318. What are you guys, because y'all are kind of new on the scene, and what are you doing here in North Louisiana?
Yeah, so basically we're just giving people an opportunity, people in the community, people all over Northeast Louisiana, to come together and have really just a simple way of donating and giving these shelters the funds they need to run and operate. And like I said, we are Cover the 318, and we just recently started with our website and our Facebook page, so we're really just starting to take off and kind of started off a little smaller, but now we are making that next big step to become, you know, up there and start getting some funds together for these homeless shelters.
We're going to talk a bit in just a minute about Matt's group, because they've got some big-time marketing chops and some advertising chops with one of the biggest companies in the world right here in Monroe. They're turning some of their attention, though, towards homelessness, and we're going to talk about that. Captain Casey, a question for you guys in the Salvation Army. And we talk about these folks having jobs, many of them not. I come to work at, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm driving through downtown Monroe. I come right past the Desired Street Shelter every morning. And, you know, I see folks getting up, maybe they've been out all night, or they're getting up, getting ready to come get some breakfast down there near you guys. Is this a man's problem? I always see like a guy every morning. He's on a bench. He's sleeping in the cemetery at 5 a.m. every morning. Is this a male problem? Do we see lots of women and children? What sort of is the mix of our local homeless population?
Well, everybody thinks it's a male problem, but it certainly is not. As a matter of fact, since we've opened our shelter, I house 8 to 12 children every night that come in with their mothers. So I have about 15 women, and then I have 8 to 12 children. And then I have that's the female dorm. And then in the male dorm, I have about 30 men. But I have a working shelter. A working dorm inside my shelter that we started. And when we started it with, two people had a job. See, the thing is, it's an emergency shelter, and it's first come, first serve. And since it's so clean, healthy, and operative, it's a safe, clean, healthy environment. That's what we've made here in the Salvation Army. And so people want to come in, so they line up, so it fills up rather quickly. But with this working dorm program that we've started, which is now we have 10 working men, and I have a few working women, but they have separate rooms. But the working men, when they go out in the morning, we give them a bag lunch so they don't have to worry about where they're going to get their lunch from. And I save them their bed. So if they get off at 5 o'clock, if they get off at 10 o'clock, they have 1 hour after they get off of work to come in, and I reserve their bed. Now, there is a rule: if I save you a bed and you don't come, and I had to put somebody out on the street and you had an empty bed, well, then we don't do that. It's like a week suspension. But since we started this program, which was back in July, we have not yet one time have they failed to come in after work. So they come in, we save them a hot meal, we give them a shower, and they get to go to sleep. And when they get up in the morning, we give them a bag lunch, and out the door they go.
Captain Casey, you mentioned you kind of have a waiting list there. Sometimes you have to turn folks away. How many folks get turned away every night? What's the waiting list like, I guess, is a question.
Well, like I said, we were originally going to house 30. We were going to house 40. That was going to be our limit. Now we're doing up to 56 a night. With the warm weather and such, it's maybe two or three have been turned away that have been waiting on the line. But I also do I have a zero tolerance. This is a clean, safe, healthy environment. I'm trying to build character. I'm trying to make produce, you know, members of society that want to get up and do a job and become productive members of society. So we have a zero tolerance. I breathalyzed every single person that comes into my shelter. Now, originally, we were going to let them be able to blow a little number, like an impaired number, and still let them come. But now we have all these children, which we didn't expect to have. And we've adjusted for it, and it's fine. And I welcome the families. But now I have a zero tolerance. So if you blow any numbers at all, you get turned away for that day.
So there are folks that sometimes don't follow the rules, and you don't follow the rules or consequences, right?
Yes, sir.
Billy, at the Desired Street Shelter, you guys are doing a lot of good stuff. You've been doing a lot of good stuff for many, many years down there. Recently, you've had a change. You quit being an overnight shelter. So what is your focus now at the Desired Street Shelter? What's a typical day like?
Well, first of all, we are a low barrier facility. And what I mean by low barrier is anyone that shows up at our door, there's something that we can do for them. If they are intoxicated, we bring them in. As long as they're not a danger to themselves or others, we'll let them sober up, and then we connect them with a rehabilitation center. It's not the individuals that are doing well that needs the help. It's the individuals that are not. So with that being said, here again, once these individuals come in at 6 o'clock, we open at 6, and we close at 6 in the evenings, Monday through Saturdays. On Sundays, we close at 1 o'clock. We are a faith-based organization, first of all. We're 501c3. We are we don't accept any state or federal funds. And the reason being is that we want to be able to help whoever shows up at our door, however long they need to be helped, in whatever way that they need to be helped. Many of the individuals that we serve are dual diagnosed. That is, that they have mental health issues as well as substance abuse issues. And we expect that. Many of these individuals are not on their medications. So we connect them with mental health facilities so that we can get them the correct diagnosis and get them back on their medication if they're off. We are, again, we serve three meals a day, breakfast at between 6 and 7, lunch is at 12, and dinner is at 5. We are, first of all, we spend a lot of time case management, intense case management. Many of the individuals that we see, they don't have an ID. They don't have a birth certificate. They don't have a Social Security card. Many of them are not from this area. So in order to move them out of the predicament they are in, we have to help them recapture those documents. And sometimes that means going back to their elementary, high school, to try to find those documentations.
Have a question from one of our audience members. Your name and your question.
My name is Brian Hersey. I have a question for the entire panel. I was just curious of what got you into the problem of homelessness. What brought about your work with the homeless people in northern Louisiana?
Let's start with Captain Casey. Captain Casey, what got you involved in the Salvation Army? Why did you decide that you wanted to help area homeless?
That is a loaded question. Okay, in a nutshell, I'm a full-fledged drug addict, I'm a full-fledged alcoholic, and I was homeless, and I was 93 pounds, and I wanted to die. I walked into a Salvation Army, and that was just under 9 years ago, and I've never left. I found Jesus Christ in Salvation Army because the Salvation Army is a church. That's what we are. We just happen to do a lot of other stuff. They saved me. They put me back together with my family. They mended some broken hearts that I ripped out of my brothers and sisters. They put me back together. I have a lot of experience with homelessness. I've stayed in a lot of shelters. I've been through it all. The Salvation Army has 27 rehabs around the country, and they're accessible to everyone, whomsoever. And that's why I do what I do.
Billy, the Desired Street Shelter, why did you get involved there? What is your connection?
Well, I retired in 2009 with the Department of Corrections, Juvenile Corrections, and I too had a bout with alcohol. And went through treatment, came out of treatment, and as a result of going through the process, I realized who I was. And I think about how often individuals go through life and they really don't know who they are. So as a result of that, when I see individuals on the street, I don't have to have sympathy for them. I can have empathy for them. I know what it's like to do something that you don't want to do. I know what that's like. I know what that feels like. And to see an individual that shows up when I know he's dealing with an addiction, again, like I say, I don't have sympathy. I can have empathy for him.
Matt Villareal, Cover the 318. Matt, what got you involved trying to shine a light on homelessness?
So I actually was influenced by one of my colleagues, and we were out to dinner one night, and she had shared a story with her recent vacation to New Orleans. And she was walking, down the street, going to a restaurant, and she looked a little bit ahead and saw that there was, a homeless woman on the sidewalk, and she noticed that everyone was just stepping over her, stepping on her, stepping on her stuff, just completely ignoring her as if she wasn't even there. And she felt something in her heart, and she went over to the young woman and, kneeled down and said, tell me your story. What is it like? What's your story? And she was really interested because she just felt something. And so sure enough, she goes and shares her story, and she was actually in the middle of making a sign on a piece of cardboard, and the sign happened to say, "I am not invisible." And that just really struck a chord with me. And ever since then, I just realized there's so much more you can do, and there's so much more education and awareness you can bring to folks to help, help fight the problem initially.
You're listening to 90.3 KEDM's Policy and a Pint. We're discussing homelessness in our area. When we come back, we're going to talk about hope for our area homeless. That's coming up next on 90.3 KEDM.